This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce. The intent this day is sincerity. And this day comes not long after celebration we hold for an individual who expressed his own sincerity, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He was an individual who was not politically correct. He was someone who, if he had been around speaking a decade later, would have gotten into a lot of trouble for the sorts of things he was very readily willing say. For shortly after his assassination, his death, went through a phase that at least a cultural critic Lash has called becoming the culture of narcissism, being very interested in ourselves, in a way in which being sincere has absolutely no congruence, no relationship to truth, to reality, to the way things are, to anything outside of our beliefs or understandings. But as Dr. King reminded us, very few things are more dangerous than sincere ignorance. We can be extraordinarily sincere. In fact, when the people, perhaps wrongly or rightly, but perhaps rightly, thinks that the current president is very sincere when he says things that are obviously wrong. But he's very sincere. Facts are against him, but he's very sincere. We can be very sincere, very sincerely ignorant. Another thing Dr. King spoke of in that same phrase was the other danger of sincere ignorance and enthusiastic stupidity. So he definitely was not a politically correct speaker. He wouldn't have made it through the 70s and 80s. He wasn't a I'm okay, you're okay kind of guy. He was devoted to a higher truth. Whether we ever truly embody a higher truth is another matter. But to have something outside of ourselves to measure ourselves against, have something that we can look to, keeps us from being sincerely ignorant or enthusiastically stupid. So often, the world today, look around, people don't see any distinction. Psychologists have told us that the best way to be believed when you tell a lie is to believe it yourself. You can sincerely tell a lie. You can delude yourself into believing something that's completely wrong, which so many people have a gift, a true gift for. Then you can convince many other people. This is the way of convincing people. And they generally will agree with you as far as wanting to be able to delude themselves. The truth is much less forgiving than our fantasies and delusions and our ideas of it and ourselves are. We can live in fantasy land. Well, it's much more comfortable. You can conjure up unicorns and rainbows and pretty clouds. And it's a lot more comfortable for our egos to exist in than in having to be sincere in a world we don't control. Sincere in a way that measures up to something besides our own desire to believe something. We can sincerely believe and tell a lie, and this happens more often than not, I think. Often it's something we don't even think about. Many people's jobs exist by believing some bizarre corporate doublespeak or their own doublespeak or their own out-and-out complete divorce from reality. It's the great divorce that C.S. Lewis didn't write about, but doesn't embody sincerity because it isn't sincere. You sound sincere. You look sincere. You convince people based on sincerity, but that sincerity is always in quotes because it's a very limited sincerity. It's the scope of being sincere in that you believe the BS you espouse. We are called to a much higher level of sincerity, beyond sincere ignorance. In Gnosticism, there is one sin, one big error, and that is willful ignorance. We might also say choosing ignorance. So that is what willful ignorance is. You choose to not know something, or to not go after the truth, not try to understand something, to not attain gnosis of something for yourself. And that is very sincere ignorance, but it isn't sincerity. To grow in the cosmos and to grow beyond the cosmos, we need a trellis outside of ourselves. We're more like vines, as the traditional Christian metaphor goes, and Christ is the vine and we are the branches. And we need something to grow on. Not Flintstones vitamins, but a trellis. Something we can hang on to, measure ourselves against. Something that has a direction, that has a stability. Without that, we are left to our own devices. And our own devices are pretty divisive. And we can bask in our own ignorance and our own certainty of our own ignorance. Convince many others. But if we follow the Gnostic path, and we will be following a path of sincerity, it doesn't allow for sincere ignorance. Ignorance is insincerity. It's not being truthful. It's not being truthful to oneself, truthful to that which is within, which we are a part of. The way that sincere ignorance works is that we ourselves become an idea of ourselves. We become very much limited to an idea of our ego, an idea of a part of our psychology, so that we know who we are. When we're a process, we're constantly unfolding, we're constantly changing. Really, we're a mystery in the deepest sense. Gnostics have always affirmed this. We are an unfolding mystery. And at the core of that mystery is a seed of light, a spark of the divine, coming to know itself, coming to grow, that seed growing, that spark catching flame, illuminating. So we don't have the option being sincerely ignorant, merely deciding we are an idea of ourselves. That, of course, that idea is pretty cool, whatever idea we have of ourselves. It can be very self-assertive, very successful, and so forth, because if you are an idea, you have control over that idea. You don't have to experience the uncertainties, the complexities, the out-and-out failures that are a part of being human and living your life for real. You can keep that sincere ignorance. You can think, oh, I don't make a mistake. Or if I do, it's just a small one. It's because I don't know better. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Even though that knowing better is part of the responsibility of being a Gnostic, of living in the world, of being a human being, with the privilege and the responsibility of consciousness, of intelligence, of being part of the light of the world. To accomplish this, we must look outside of ourselves. We must have criteria, standards, ways of comparing ourselves that extend beyond ourselves. Ways of understanding the idea of ourselves as being a very limited thing, that needs to be looked at with wide open eyes, examined, criticized, refined constantly, because that is not who we are. It is a part of a process, part of a process of life. We must take this larger view, this higher perspective, to get out of the sense that one can be comfortable with sincere ignorance. Let's see our lifespan unfolding. Who wants to come to the end of their lives, be on their deathbed where they can't do anything about it, and suddenly realize that they have been full of BS for how many decades? That they have lived a complete, utter lie. They've screwed everything up, but have been able to convince themselves that everything was wonderful, pretended that they were happy. There you are, unable to do anything about it. And you realize it was all a lie. You can BS the world. You can BS yourself. BS is one of those things that even eminent philosophers take upon themselves to address in scholarly tomes these days, because it's so much a part of our life. But as our readings today point us to, you cannot BS God. Not a matter of him having your number. If you don't repent those sins, you know, get the big tally marks against you in the heavenly ledger. Accountant angel is measuring your sins against what little good you might do. It's a matter of being true, being truthful, being sincere. We'll make mistakes. The Gnostic perspective, most of the stupid things we do are just stupid things. Try to do better, try not to do them, try to grow up. But choosing ignorance is one of those Gnostic sins. Perhaps the only one, the really big error. There's a lot of allowance for kids playing around to break things and or to be noisy even though they're trying to be quiet. Or whatever, kids being kids. Humans being humans is pretty common. But choosing to remain unconscious, choosing ignorance, is something different. It's using one's ability to understand oneself, one's consciousness against consciousness. It really is a different order of error. And I think that's why the Gnostics constantly pointed at it as being such a grievous thing. If you truly don't know any better than doing something stupid, you learn. If you are able to convince yourself to become sincerely ignorant, then you may think that doing something stupid is a really great thing. Doing something harmful is wonderful. And keep at it. And not grow. Actually, regress. Pull back consciousness. Take back the growth that has happened within you. Use that gift, that unparalleled mystery of consciousness, to pull back. And that is a big error. Lesson for today is from the book of Sophia. And it warns us not to add day upon day, cycle upon cycle, hoping to come to a realization, hoping to understand the mysteries when we come in another cycle. You can see this as being reincarnation, life after life. We can see this as being what is very much apparent to us. Like, well, once I get this job established, or once I finish school, then I'll devote myself to the spiritual stuff. Or for now, you know, I got kids to feed, so I have to do the BS game and make it through the world and play its game. But all these things take their toll. We cannot afford to wait for some future cycling, some future state of being, to be sincere, to seek truth, to seek gnosis. We can't live in fantasy land, can't live up to our armpits in our own BS, and then suddenly, boom, escape It's a process. And perhaps the most harmful thing to this process of growth we are going through is to pull back, pull our consciousness back, to pull our light back, and to seek instead the comfort of sincere ignorance, the comfort of darkness. Be able to go forth and do what we have to do, what we feel we have to do, with that enthusiastic stupidity, without seeing through it, without examining it, without bringing our consciousness, our understanding, our gnosis, our wisdom to bear upon it. Just play along. For as the lesson warns us, there will be a time when this is no longer something you can put off in the future. Whether you see this as being the accomplishment many lifetimes, the purpose of the cosmos, or you see this as being the incarnations we go through in one lifetime, the many different changes we go through, stages of life. Personally, I think it applies across the board. It's the way most Gnostic truths apply. You can think of it in this way, that way, across this scope, across that scope, and it's still true. So, no matter how you think of it, time is limited. Opportunities are limited. And regressing, such a horrible thing. Because it changes more than just where you're standing, you know? It's not just taking a step backwards. It's reforming who you are, who you think yourself to be. It's erecting barriers within yourself so that consciousness won't go there and ruin my good game. You know, it won't break through my ignorance so I can't be sincere about it anymore. We have to block it off. When we do that, we've blocked off our growth. We've changed ourselves. Many spiritual texts speak about the process of formation, of transformation, this process of growth, becoming who we are. We can also go through formation to become something else, to go off the path, to seek another type of reward rather than gnosis and self-realization. If we do that, not only have we not grown, we have changed. We become more occluded, more ignorant. We've increased our own darkness we must then deal with later on. Darkness in the sense of absence of light. We've increased our burden. Well, we've got enough burdens to begin with. It's hard enough to try to figure out who you are, what you're doing, develop some level of consciousness that isn't all about me, to escape from this culture of narcissism that seems to be around us so often, and achieve some perspective. Then increase our burden by seeking ignorance. It's truly, truly sabotaging your spiritual journey yourself. I don't think anything this world has to offer is really worth that. Often relationships try to have a component of that. One of the people in the relationship wants to have more power, and the other one tries to then back off, change, hide and bury that realization. Relationships at work seem to almost always have this. It's one of the banes of our modern age. You can't just go to work and work. There's always this other factor weighing upon you. So we must be very careful. Seek that true thread of sincerity. And that thread is the thread that connects us to the divine, to the transcendent. It goes beyond ourselves as we know ourselves. It goes beyond our ideas of ourselves. It goes far beyond what we can control, what we can decide, what we can believe. And in that way, becomes a trellis for us to grow upon, to reach forth to the divine. The gospel for today is from the Gospel of Philip. It talks about the pearl. In the world, you can drop a pearl in the mud, you can polish it up. The gospel tells us that to the owner, dropping it in the mud, picking up, seeing only mud, doesn't diminish its value. The owner knows it's a pearl. Neither does polishing it up with balsam oil increase its value. It makes it more shiny, more luminescent. The owner knows it's a pearl. Knows what it is. The gospel says, so it is the children of God. They have their worth in the eyes of their Father, in the eyes of God. We seek our worth around us, and we will be tempted. We will be drawn to insincerity, drawn to hypocrisy, drawn to try to say, scream out if we are in the mud, I am a pearl, or to take credit for this shining coat of oil. The wheel of fortune turns. The bottom is in the mud. The top is all polish, oil, sunshine. But this turning of the wheel is just another cycle, like the lesson points us to. It's just a part of this world. The true value, the true understanding, lies beyond it. It's transcendent of it. Is this trellis we are growing upon, stretching from the mystery that is within ourselves to the mystery that is beyond all we can understand, transcendent of this cosmos. And if we grow upon that, we will truly realize our own worth. We realize that while we make mistakes, parts of us that are entangled in the world sometimes splatter us with mud, sometimes make us look good. Forces beyond our control will do the same. Our real value is much more certain. And that placing of that value beyond this realm allows us to seek that sincerity. We don't have to delude ourselves into thinking we are other than we are. Because what we are at heart is amazing. More precious than anything else we could consider. It's more than we can ever hope to understand in the limitations of a lifetime, in the limitations of this process of living out a life. So may we hold on to that understanding that our value lies not in the things of the world, but beyond them. And that our progress, our reality, our real life, lies in growth. Growth upon a trellis that stretches beyond us. Growth that realizes our true potential. Potential that extends across this world and beyond it. May never get us another cool consumer good, not get us a single vote, but it is what is important. It is who we are. It is what is real. So let us hold on to that and seek that with due sincerity, the sincerity of our hearts, yearning for what is real, what is true, what is divine. May the blessing of the mystery that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, remain with us always. The Gnostic calendar features the liturgical year of the Ecclesia Gnostica and many additional holidays and dates of interest. With original artwork by a Gnostic priest, the Gnostic calendar is truly one of a kind. Get yours today at gnosis.org/calendar. That's gnosis.org/calendar.